If you've been around, you know we've been in a series on legacy and talking about the power of legacy, talking about the building blocks of legacy. And so we're going to continue that today. We're going to have some fun as we talk about the next building block. But before we do that, I want to show you something our team put together, which our team is just absolutely incredible. These are legacy cards. Okay, so every campus, they have these. These are like talking points for your family. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of family dynamics, all of this. If you want to increase engagement and communication with your kids, then you should pick these up. And there was a cost getting all these together. So I think they're $5 at each campus. So $5 to grab these today. And it has our legacy declaration in here. So it has your declaration. But then it also has all kinds of just questions. So I would say you have family dinner. You sit down. You pull out a question. And the rule is everybody's got to answer. Okay, so you got to go around and let everybody. You're on a road trip. Pull out the cards. You will be shocked. Yeah. At what you learn about your kids when it's not just like, Dad, why are you asking me another question? And it's a game.
It's a game, yep.
That we're all playing, and all of a sudden we're sharing about all the stuff. I'm like, okay, we're talking. This is cool.
We're talking, keep connecting. Be cool. The kids
be
are
cool.
Talking.
Get another one. So that's available today at all the locations. Make sure you pick that up. And I hope today... and really the whole series, I hope that it's been encouraging to you. So we understand that everybody comes into their legacy journey at different places. Yeah. So some with a lot of regret, some with a lot of pain, some maybe you're single and you're like, you're dreaming for the future. Some you're a single parent. And, so you're doing like both jobs. So we understand there's all kinds of different stories. I think some of the things that we're going to talk about today, They're going to affect, some of them will be for the family, specifically parents, but every one of them will connect with you at a deep level. And so I want to read our scripture that we've been pulling this entire series from in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says in verse 1, these are the commands, the decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children, we've been saying this is what legacy is, yes. You, your children, and their children, yes. After them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So let's just start with saying this, okay? Legacy starts with me. Yep. That's our first building block. Yep. We talked about marriage, even marriage. The only person we have the power or the authority to change is who?
Me
ourselves. And now today I want to talk about family.
Yeah.
I want to talk about family. I want to talk about parenting. And this is the truth, whether you believe it or not, there are no perfect families. So even the ones on Instagram that look good, they're right. There's always a story. I just whistled. That was incredible. I don't know if you heard that in Wiley. I got a whistle going on. I did chip my tooth this week, so I don't know if that's going. If that starts being my thing now, it's like I always talk with a whistle. It's going to be embarrassing. Now I got to remember what I was saying.
There are no perfect families.
There are no perfect families. Exhibit A. Hey, someone's got one going. There's always a story behind the picture, right? Yeah. So we capture the perfect picture, but before that, like Johnny is punching mom and dad's pulling the ear, you know, look straight, because there's always a story behind that. So let me just take the pressure off today and for you to know, we don't pretend to be or know any perfect families. Mm-hmm. We are all works in progress.
Yeah.
We all want legacy. We really want to leave a legacy. We want a godly legacy, and we're doing our best.
Yeah.
And it's going to take all of us kind of having that realization to really make progress today in our talk.
15 minutes ago, our son just heard we were talking about parenting. He goes, aren't you supposed to be helping people? Burn. So there you go. Okay, so the pressure is off of all of us. But I do think he's really into burns lately. Burns and drip. Drip? Which I think is clothing, cool clothing. Yeah, he's been teaching me that one. But I think this is really important. And
he's 10.
And he's 10, yeah. But we're ending on family. We could do family for a year, really, because we're so passionate about family. But I think one of the reasons that we're passionate about it is, as Christians, like, it is in our spiritual blood. Because when God, after Noah, right, after the fall of Adam and Eve, after the Tower of Babel, after the people out in the world just running amok and being crazy, he decided that he still wanted to be with us.
Yeah.
And he chose to be with us via a family. And so when the world was literally going to hell in a handbasket, right, worse than it is now, you know, he said, I'm going to choose a family to do it with. And so this is what I think is so powerful about families, is God chose a family and we are grafted into that family. And there is something powerful about the family, the people of God and the family of God planted in the house of God, being God's people and God's family.
Yes. Yes.
And that's one of the reasons I think so
good.
I'm so passionate about that as well.
What are you talking about? So as we dive into this, I want to just kind of set it up this way, is we've been talking about, we don't leave our marriage to chance.
Yeah.
We don't leave our legacy to chance.
Right.
And you don't leave your children to chance.
Right, right.
So this is an intentional engagement. Mm-hmm. So we're not caretakers, babysitters. We're parents.
Yeah.
We're raising up world changers. We're raising up little, I'm going to talk about it at the end, little deliverers, mm-hmm. like little Moseses that God's raising up to do something big. And so we have a job to do.
Yes.
So there's a book that I read years ago, and it had a phrase that has stuck with me now for over a decade. It's so powerful. It's this: culture is a combination mm-hmm. of what you create yeah. and what you allow. Okay, so let's say it this way. Your home
yeah.
is a combination yeah. of what you create and what you allow. So we're talking about neutral, is that's allowing. So your home will, man, nobody respects anybody in my house. Well, that's a culture you've allowed. Right? So everyone's just swearing all the time and everyone's yelling and screaming. That's an allowed culture. So if I want to change it, I have to be intentional about the culture I want to create. And then with intentionality now, I build a legacy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to create, we're going to make some rules in our house. We're not going to yell and scream. Mm-hmm. We're not going to put each other down. We're going to apologize if we do something wrong. These things, those don't happen naturally.
Right.
I don't know if anybody has kids. Like, that doesn't happen naturally. Some people are like, man, kids are so innocent. They're kids are not innocent. They're like, I heard somebody, he was teaching on parenting, and he's like, kids are so dangerous. Like, they're like mini terrorists. Because if they were full size, they'd literally be killing people. Right? They're like toddlers, you know, beating, you know, but they're little. So it's like, he hit me with a Tonka truck. It's no big deal. But like, if that was full size, right? They're not innocent. They actually have been born with a sinful nature.
Yep.
That's how all of us were born. So they need to be saved. They need to be given a new heart. They need to be redeemed.
Yep.
They need to be trained.
Yes.
They need to be trained. And then we're going to talk about some of that today. Children, in the Bible says this, the children are a blessing from the Lord. That might be just good for us to repeat a couple times. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a blessing from the Lord. You know, they're also sometimes a burden. They're always a blessing and sometimes a burden.
Yeah.
But they're not always a burden and sometimes a blessing.
Right.
You have to set the foundation that they're always a blessing
yep.
and sometimes mm-hmm. there's a burden with that. And but we know that when God blesses us, with children, when God blesses you in the future with children, or whether that's in your sphere of influence as raising up or mentoring, that there's responsibility there, but it is a blessing from God. So let me say this, is the priority of our parenting, it cannot be like somewhere down the line. The priority of our importance as parents is so high.
Yeah.
What you do, you don't, unfortunately, we don't get a day off from parenting. There's no day off.
Yeah.
There's no, I'm just going to take a vacation from parenting for a little bit. They're always watching. They're always learning. They're like the worst little form of AI. They're just like calculating, like, I can get away with that. I can do that. Dad's weak in that area. So we're always on. But that's important. It's important for us to wear that burden well.
Yes.
And to understand the importance of that. But before we really step into the importance of our children and that influence, the greatest way, statistics will show you this if you look it up, the greatest way to raise good kids. Now, we're all starting somewhere, so this is no shilt. That's a combination of shame and guilt put together. So we're whistling and swearing today, all right? It's going to be my new word. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. I want to take it further, but I'm going to stop. We don't want anybody feeling shame or condemnation. The greatest way to raise godly kids is to have a godly marriage. That's the most effective, and even secular studies will show you this. That's the most effective way to raise good moral kids is a good marriage. Now, some of you might not be in that place right now. That's okay. We're working on that. We're all starting here. We're a work in progress. Yeah. But we learned early on that this had to be the most important before we put all of that effort into the kids.
Well, I think we've seen a lot of people just put their entire life into their kids. And then when the kids get married or the kids go to college, it's everything crumbles. I know multiple people who divorce or have plans to divorce the minute their last kid turned 18. And like we talked about last week, we don't want to be married forever. We want to be happily married forever. But that also takes priority. It takes intentionality. And so his birthday was last week. And I took him, because we love our kids, love them. We love to be a family. And they know we love to be a family, right? So again, ways to help your children is our family's the best family, isn't it? Right? So we're always talking to them like, oh man, our family is so amazing. So for his birthday, I was like, we're going to do one night for family, right? And then we're going to do one night just mommy and daddy away. And they were not happy about the second night with just mommy and daddy. And to be honest, he stalled. He kept them longer than he was supposed to, right? Because we love having our kids. And I was like, get them out of here. It's mommy and daddy time. Not because I don't want to have them with us, but because we're modeling to them that mommy and daddy are happy. It's our time. We honestly, both of us probably would have liked them to stay the extra night, but it's important for them. No.
Honeymoon.
You did keep them an extra 2 hours, but they're seeing parents who love each other, and that breeds such security in them. So we sent them off with Bianca, and it's like, bye, see you later, right? And they were mad about it, and we were laughing. We're like, it's so good that they were mad about it. It's so good that they didn't want to leave us, but they also know that there's something more important to them because they're a happy addition to this really happy thing. They are not our goal. They are not our idol. They're a happy addition to mommy and daddy that are most of the time always in love. Sometimes.
No family is perfect.
No family is perfect. We know that.
And you're getting better.
Thank you so much.
Burn.
That's what you get to burn.
Proverbs 22:6, it says this, it's probably the most quoted scripture in regards to family and children.
Yeah.
But I want to put it out there in front of us. It says this, start children off on the way that they should go. Mm-hmm. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, I want to use this for where we're going today for a couple different reasons. One, the book of Proverbs was written not as a book of promises, but a book of principles.
Right.
So these are principles that we put into action, but it's not guaranteed result, right? So it's like, I trained my child up in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he not depart from it. And he departed, right? Well, yeah, those children are going to have to make adult decisions someday. And that doesn't have to be guilt on you for what you did or you didn't do.
Right.
You got to do the best you can do to plant seeds and to raise right. But then at some point, they become adults and they make decisions. So I don't get to, my dad's here in this service, I don't get to still blame my dad for decisions that I make. So like, man, I'm spending too much money, Dad. Like, come on, could you have raised me? No, I'm an adult now. I got a budget and I got a plan, right? So some of us, we think, well, I raised him, I trained him this way. Well, you got to do the best you can. And it's this principle that's biblical. It's called seed time and harvest.
Yes.
When we parent, a lot of times we want to harvest and harvest, but you can't harvest until you plant. So Most of parenting is not harvesting. It's sowing.
Yes.
I'm planting seeds. Yep. Every interaction is a seed. Every correction is a seed. Yes. Every affirmation is a seed. Every sports game is a seed. I got to think about that one for a little bit. Just conviction of the Holy Spirit. Good and bad seeds that we plant. That's why it's so important how we parent, how we raise them up, the environment that they're in. It is vitally important to their health, to the way they see the world, to how they adjust to culture, how they make friends. All of that is in the home, in the seeds that we plant. So it is so important that we get this principle. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, as long as the earth endures, that's longer than we're going to be here. It says seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Okay, so we see this principle that we sow and then at some time we will reap a harvest. Okay, the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. So we can sow good and bad seeds. You sow from the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I planted, Paul speaking, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Paul, I think, is talking specifically about salvation and about the seed of the gospel. But I think we can pull from this idea of seed time and harvest, that there is a partnership in what you're doing as parents and what God's doing in developing your kids. So you're going to plant seeds, but God's going to make them grow. You're going to plant seeds of greatness, but God's going to develop them. Yes. And not just God, but a husband and wife, a community of believers. It takes a village that together we plant and we sow and we raise kids that will turn into hopefully men and women of God, good morals, values, and making a difference in their world. There is seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Every parent, I think it's very rare to talk to a parent that doesn't want more for their kids than what they had. Right? It's like, I want my kids to have. So that's why sometimes you see somebody that really had to work hard to gain wealth and then their kids are lazy because they grew up in poverty. So now they don't want their kids to grow up in that. So now they're not working as hard because they want to. Yeah. It comes from a good heart. And you see the pendulum swing back and forth. So every parent in here, future parent, you probably have the right heart that I want it better for my kids than I had it. So we give our kids gifts. A lot of parents give their kids gifts. There are a lot of gifts that you give your kids that probably don't do much for their development. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. You love them. You give it to them. But I want to talk about five gifts. There's a lot more that we could talk about. We're going to talk about five today. Five gifts that you can give your kids that will help them, help you build legacy through your family. Okay. So if you're taking notes, we're going to go through five of them. All right. Here's the first one. Give them the gift of unity. Now, again, we have all stories represented here. Some of you have blended families. Some of you are walking, you're raising someone else's kids. There's a lot of stories. So just hear the heart behind what we're saying as the goal. The gift of unity. Parenting was intended to be done together. Jesus said this, Mark chapter 3, verse 25. He says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So when we are training our little kids, our little world changers, I almost called them little terrorists. That's just not a good thing to say. We do not say that. They're men and women of God. It's awesome. And when we're training our boys, we do that together. This is a unified front. There is no... Dad said no, ask mom. Right? We have a motto.
No. Nope.
You what?
No.
Go ahead. No. Oh.
But this isn't just like, oh, dad's everything dad thinks is perfect, everything mom thinks is perfect, and we like put on this thing in front of them. Because I think this is the temptation when we hear things like this is like, oh no, daddy's always right. No, daddy and I can go have a conversation behind closed doors. And I can say, I don't think they should have mint chocolate chip ice cream or watch the Lakers till 1 a.m. on a school night. But if daddy said you can have mint chocolate chip ice cream and watch the Lakers till 1 a.m. on a school night, then mommy says it too. But then we can have conversations. So this isn't just like this thing where we're like always performing for them. There are, and this goes back to the marriage building block, right? Like we have conversations and, oh, maybe they shouldn't stay up till, he had them up really late last week watching the Lakers. And it showed in their attitude. But they said, Daddy said, and so I say, okay, yes. And then I told Daddy, they need to go to bed early tonight, one night. And they did. And he said what I said. So does that make sense? It's not like it's in front of them. We are always together. Yes. And then when we close the bedroom door, it's no more Lakers. Right?
They're about to do that to themselves.
And we can have those conversations. And that's a healthy marriage that can respect each other's opinions on. And we both have gauges on them. Sometimes they need to have fun and watch the Lakers. Yep. Sometimes they need sleep.
And we respect each other. They have heard us disagree.
Oh, yeah.
So we talked about that with the marriage building block. It's not that we hide disagreements from them, but when it comes to if they're going to do something or not, or how we're training them, that's a conversation that happens behind closed doors. We're not in front of them debating, Jamie, they need to stay up and watch the Lakers because we don't know how long they're going to be around. And that needs to happen somewhere else. And then we come out with a unified front. This is corporate principles as well. Yeah. We do this as a leadership team. I tell our executive team, hey, you can disagree with me all you want right in this room. But when we leave, we all say the same thing. So once we come to a conclusion, I might be wrong, you might be right, whatever it is. But when we leave, we have one decision. That's just good leadership.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we think when it comes to our children that we should like take sides and have World War III.
Right, right.
This is supposed to be unity.
Right.
If there is ever a war, it's me and Jamie against the boys.
Right.
It's not me and the boys against Jamie or Jamie and the boys against me.
No.
That's a house. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I know there are dynamics and you're thinking that will never work in my world. That will never work in my marriage. That will let it be some seeds of a direction you want to begin to move in. So maybe try. The next time there's something that you got to have an agreement, you need to be in agreement on. Hey, can we talk about this for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't go well, but you start the process of that. We're going to talk about these things together.
Yeah.
I wrote this down. I think it's really important that we're really sarcastic as a family. and it's funny as long as it's just us, you know, but as soon as someone else is into it, they're like, wow. Like, so I realize this is that as much as we're sarcastic to each other and we make fun of each other in a positive way. And, they need to hear me honor Jamie in front of them. They need to hear me say, well, what did mom say? That's how you have unity.
Yeah.
It is not like, hey, Dad, we have a little secret. When we're with you, we can stay up late.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did mom say we could stay up late? No, but we're with you. Oh, let's see what mom says.
Yeah.
That's how we parent. That's how you create unity in the legacy building block so that your kids do not become allies with mom or dad. And if you've been raising kids very long, you realize that at different ages, it changes.
Yeah.
So this age, I got mom. This age, I got dad. No, it's unified. It's us that's raising them.
Yep.
Not them raising us.
No.
Not me and them raising mom. Right? It's very clear where those things are. It's
probably
the gift
like
of unity.
A year ago that I felt like I was getting picked on a lot because I'm the only girl in the house. Love being the queen.
She wanted two boys.
But I wanted two boys. I prayed for two boys. But I told him, I was like, hey, D, like, I feel like I'm getting real picked on by all three of you, you know, like girl jokes and mom jokes and all the things. But you caught it and you flipped the script on it. So again, I sense like, oh, this is getting a little like mom's the joke all the time. And I had to rely on him to do that for me. So husbands, like, do that for her. Step up and protect her if she's getting picked on, right? And there's been times where they pick on him and I will step up. We are always protecting each other. We're always unified.
Yes.
So good. Really good. The gift of unity. Second gift. Ready? Give the gift of discipline. Oh, yeah. All right. This would be fun. Give the gift. Is it a gift? It's actually a gift. Mm-hmm. It's in fact the most loving thing that you can give a child is the gift of consistent Now I'm going to add some things to it because everybody has a different interpretation. Yeah. Consistent, loving discipline. Mm-hmm. If a bridge only holds you up sometimes, you're not going to trust the bridge. Mm-mm. If a parent only disciplines sometimes, you're never going to trust the rules or the consequences. Yep. It's got to be the same thing all the time, which is consistency. Now, I want to help just kind of like pull something apart. There is a massive difference between discipline and punishment.
Yep.
And I think dads, I think for us, we can lean into the, we got to overpower that rebellious streak. We have to punish. You don't need to punish your kid.
Yeah.
You need to discipline. So punish is with the intention to pay for a crime. Discipline is the intention to train for future behavior.
So good.
Do you see that difference? That right there will change the way that you discipline. Knowing that, well, you did this, now you're going to get it. And yet that crime was this big, so you're going to get it this much. Whoa. You've lost the relationship now, which is the most important thing that you have with your kid and the only thing you're going to have past 13. And you're busy like taking control as the leader and you're punishing. So discipline should never be done out of anger. So if you're angry, you need to go discipline yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
And then come back when you're under control and lovingly train. Because discipline is not an act of passion.
No. Yeah.
Discipline is an act of strategy.
So
discipline is something we do to raise godly kids that can trust where the boundaries are.
Yeah.
There's all these new fads of parenting, of discipline, and all of these things. And can I just pastorally caution you against fads from new people, new parents that have not seen the fruit of their labor yet? So if their kids are not grown, And they had that the technique has not worked, then I don't know if we should be going viral on TikTok and all doing it. Right? Because their kid's 18 months and they had a bad dad. And so now they think they should parent this way. Whoa. You know, biblically, the way that you really find out how to raise godly children is to find older people in the church that have the outcomes that you want. And then ask them, how did you do that? How do they love you? Why do they want to go on vacation with you?
Right.
Why do they respect you?
Yep.
Why do they have integrity? Because you see a product and then you trace it back to what actually produced that product. Discipline happens out of love. So for us, the times that we discipline. Now, however you discipline, that's up to you. Your own family values and morals. And so we know the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And so everybody gets excited. Whatever your rod is a consistent, loving instrument of training. So if that's time out for you, that's fine. But it has to be consistent.
Right.
And it has to be loving, and you can't let up. So if you said time out for 3 minutes, it can't be 2 minutes and 50 seconds because you got tired of tracking and you let them out.
Yeah.
You just broke the bridge.
Yeah.
Now they can't trust the bridge. You said 3 minutes, let it be 3 minutes. Well, I think they learned their lesson. No, you're tired. You have to have integrity in the way that you discipline. If it's three, careful what you threaten.
Oh my, yeah.
Because that's what you have to live by so you don't destroy the bridge.
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
So we don't have to like get in a debate on is it timeout or is it knockout? Is it spanking or is it grounding? It's consistent discipline from a heart that is to train.
Yeah.
You want to say anything?
Jude stole in preschool some gems.
First crime.
It was his first crime. He was in preschool over here, and he has his dad's affinity for gems and accessories. And he was in Montessori. He was in Montessori because we do Montessori training here at the preschool. Highly recommend our preschool if you don't know about it. And so they were working with these gems, these jewels, right? And so I get him home. He's like
plastic.
Two or three. Plastic, not real. I get him home. He's two or three. And I go to give him a bath. And I pull his diaper down and out come gems.
He's got it down.
Like two or three Montessori gyms out from under his diaper. And I'm like, oh no, Jude. I knew. They just screamed Montessori gyms. And I was like, oh, Jude, did you steal these? And he, you know, oh, and I'm like, Dustin, get in here. We have our first crime, you know. And so I was like, Jude, this is not what we, and again, we don't bring it. I think we do a good job of this is we don't never make it about him. It's our family doesn't do this.
Right.
It's not you don't do this. It's we don't do. We are constantly a unit. We talk about ourselves as a unit all the time. It's like, really? Oh no, we don't steal gems. Like we don't lie to Miss Mary. You know, we don't do this. And so we're like, how do we really teach him in this moment? Right. Cause some people would have just been like, just swat him with the rod. Right. But we sensed from a loving heart to train that he needed to really go and say sorry to Miss Mary, who he adored. And so the next day we walk into building A over there and I texted Miss Mary and I was like, Jude's on his way to apologize. He stole from you. And she was all ready because she was amazing.
She did not want the gems back.
She did not want the gems back from that dirty diaper. And we walk in and she was all, and our teachers are so incredible. She was prepped for the apology, right? And Jude waddles in with the gems and we sit down. I have pictures of it. And he hands her the gems and I'm like, Jude, what do you want to say? And I'm sorry. And Miss Mary said, oh, Jude, thank you so much. Safe place to learn and a heart to train. Not just smack him because he stole, he broke one of the Ten Commandments. It's no. And this is the power of church. This is power of community. This is the power of the village. Is that if my kids are kissing some girls at summer camp, I hope Pastor Jemerson finds them, right? And does our job for us, right? It takes a village sometimes. And so, Miss, and that's the power of this place is that I could text her and she was ready to give him grace, but take the gems back. She was like, oh no, take the gems, you cutie. You're Pastor Dustin's son. Oh no. You give those gems back. And he learned he's never stolen again.
It's true. And there's so much.
He really learned.
There's so much. It's exhausting. Yeah. Parents, yeah. It's exhausting to always train. Yeah. But you can't give up for a second.
No.
You cannot give up for. If you will put the work in the early years, you will live in the harvest of the blessing in the later years.
Yeah.
You got to put it in. Now, some of you are dealing with older kids and you're like, what do I do now? Right now, we go into seed time and harvest. Just plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. The third gift is this. We're going to get through these next three really quickly. Give the gift of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Give the gift of encouragement. We were talking about this. We're like, this one should be a given, but it is crazy how void houses, homes are of encouragement. There needs to be so much affirmation in your house. Not real authentic affirmation that you're proud of them, that you love them. I hear parents say all the time, they say, well, I don't want my kid to get a big head. Trust me, life is undefeated at robbing the confidence off of your life. All right. So can we just have like the church and the home be a place where you can do anything that if you set your sights to do it, you can do it. We believe in you. We're not saying not to abdicate hard work or they're going to have to earn things. We're saying create an atmosphere of encouragement where they feel and they establish a cognitive understanding of the world, not from behind, but that they're confident, they're accepted, they're loved, they're significant. Yes. And we've seen it, even our boys at young ages, is that atmosphere does something to settle them as young people in this crazy world, because the home is that breeding ground. Yes. It's the incubation where they're learning and where they're growing. So we say give affirmation liberally.
Yeah.
Dads, can I just encourage you just to actually say it out of your mouth? I'm proud of you. I love you. They need to hear those words over and over. Well, how much is too much? There's not too much. There is not too much. The enemy, the world, the culture will all tell them something different.
Yes.
It's shouting at them that they're not loved, that they're not accepted, that they're not going to make it. And the shouts of home have to be louder than the shouts of culture. And we want our boys to hear all the time, and we do. We love you.
Yeah.
We're proud of you.
Yeah.
After a bad game, we love you. We're proud of you. After they didn't listen to my coaching, we love you. And we're proud. We're training. We have discipline.
Yeah.
But we're also affirming and encouraging.
I grew up with a dad who every time I could get an A on a test that wasn't even hard. He'd be like, of course you did.
That sounds just like you.
That sounds just like you. That's what he always said to me growing up. I heard over and over. Anytime I did anything good, it wasn't even like, wow, surprise. It was, well, obviously you're the best. Obviously. And so it's a line in my family now. And my mom just had back surgery, and all over the thread, it's like, she's doing so well. And everybody's like, that's just like you. Yeah. It's just like you. So it's not even like a surprise that they did good. Oh, I'm so shocked you got a good grade. I'm so shocked you got the part in the play. I'm so shocked that you made a goal. It's, of course you did.
Yes.
Cause you're amazing. Yeah. We knew it all along. Of course. That's just like you. If you can adapt that into your family, we say it all the time. I think it becomes less of just like, oh, it's such an amazing. Yes, you're turning out good. Thank goodness. It's, of course. Yeah. We expected nothing, yeah. Nothing less.
Yes. Your tone and how you affirm is really important.
Yeah.
If it's sarcastic, or if there's always there's so much negativity that the affirmation doesn't even make a dent. So you got, this is what Jamie's talking about, is creating a culture of, yes, of course you did great things. Right. Of course you accomplished that. Of course you apologized. Of course you were honest.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Right.
That's what we do. What's the thing that you've been doing with the boys, the game, like, I love you more? Because our youngest Genesis, he's not real open. Like at Jude, like he'll just tell you how amazing you are and you're just doing great today. He told her outfit looks great right before we came out here. But Genesis, like if you get a compliment out of him, you're like, you should really
just
treasure that.
I get one, yeah.
Because it's few and far between. So.
But his way of interacting, which I kind of relate with him on this too, he likes to just kind of like be funny. And like rough you up a little, right? So if I get home from a trip and he missed me, Jude will just run up into my arms, right? And Jen will come over and just shove me. And that's him saying, I love you, right? And so, parents always do the I love you more thing. I love you more. And to me, it's always kind of seemed cheesy. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. I love you more because I want like something like super profound, you know? And then Genesis was getting out of the car at school the other day. And I realized like, he doesn't need me to just be like, I love you, I love you, I love you. He needs like a kind of a rough up, right? So he gets out and he goes, I love you more! Like, and he loved it. And he goes, I love you more! And then he slams the door. And I roll down the window and I drive off. If you're a part of our school, you will see me screaming. I look angry at my children. And now Jude has started doing it and we just scream angry. I know I love you more. Cause it takes the cheesy out of it for me. But that's, Jen connects with that. So we also have to know what our kids, Jude needs loves. Jude needs touch. Jude needs affirmation. Jen needs a quick shove and an aggressive, I love you. Right? So funny.
I was hearing them do it. I'm like, what?
It sounds so mean.
It's just talking about tone. I'm like, man, are they upset? It doesn't all have to be sit down. Yeah. Okay, daddy loves you.
He loves you, right? Right.
It's a part of the fabric of your
yes,
home.
That's so
that
good.
Is love and affirmation and joy.
Yeah.
Give the gift, number four, and we're going to move to number five. And I think God's going to do something really special today. Mm-hmm. I've been really excited about today for the ending for a couple different reasons, but I think God's about to just fill you with more hope than you ever have had for the future of your life, for the future of your legacy. The fourth one is this: give the gift of modeling. Modeling. We want to be great instructors. Some of us have the spiritual gift of a teacher. So we like to teach and instruct. Your kids are not going to do what you've taught or instructed them. They're going to do what you've shown them. Right? They're gonna do what's been modeled to them. So if you want them not to lie, you have to model honesty. If you want them to honor your wife, then you have to model honor. If you want them to worship, you have to model worship. If you want them to be authentic, because they see you at home and here, then you have to model authenticity. Dad was swearing at me in the car in the parking lot, and now he's worshiping with his hands up. You just modeled something. You modeled that when they come in these doors, they have to put on a facade and turn on their worship. No. God's in all of that. He's in all of it. This is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. This is Paul speaking. He says, therefore, I urge you to what? Imitate. He said, I'm going to model something. Do what I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 or Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Everybody wants the outcomes and nobody wants to imitate. No, you have to model for your kids what you want them to be. And I want them to be better stewards. Be a better steward. I want them to be more kind. Be more kind.
So good.
I don't want them to be alcoholics. Don't be an alcoholic. I don't want them to do drugs. Then don't abuse prescription drugs. Model what you, oh, dad's got to have his pills. Dad has to have his drink. And so now you're mad at them because they have to have something. Yeah. No, it's you have to model. What do you want them to see? What do you want them to be? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul says this. He says, do what I do as I follow him. So parents, this is a responsibility on us. If we're going to say follow us, that's a huge responsibility. It'd be easier to say follow Jesus. Hey, go follow Jesus. Jude and Jen, go follow Jesus. No, Paul says, tell them to follow you.
Yes.
Oh. Legacy starts with me.
Yes.
So boys, pray like I pray. Love like I love. Do what I do.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can we?
Speaking of.
Oh.
Hi guys.
Hello. Hello.
Bro.
What's up, bro?
Hey.
Come on in.
I was right on cue.
that was good. How you doing? You doing all right? Okay. I wanted to bring them up. As we close, because of our last one is this. Give the gift of a Christ-centered home. So we've done this, is we've talked a lot about being in church, which is so important. You need to be in the house of God. You have to raise your kids in church. And I'll tell you why in a second, but there's a lot of different reasons. But more than that, it's a Christ-centered home so that we're bringing God into every part. So it's, we're praying on the way to school, or Jen's quizzing me on the books of the Bible on the way to school, which, how did I do on that? Bad. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Or we're talking about the Lakers. It's not super spiritual. It's just who we are.
Yes.
It's who you are. It's involved in what we do. So we play soccer, right? We play soccer. We play soccer a lot. A lot of times you have games on Sundays. What's the number one priority on Sunday? Church. Even if you have a game? Yep. Why?
Because church comes first.
Church comes first. We didn't go over this.
I
was a little nervous because you make me. That was good. You did awesome. Church comes first. So luckily we got a church with a lot of different campuses and a lot of different service times. So we adjust around and we shuttle and we volley to try to make things work. But it's a priority because we're a Christ-centered home, not just on Sundays. Now this is, when I'm saying this, we are, I'm not saying we are the image of what you should be. I'm saying that we are putting into practice what I'm saying we should all put into practice. This is our aim.
Yeah.
This is our goal,
right?
That this would be in the fabric of who we are, that Christ is at the center, that when we're sick, we pray for one another.
Yeah.
We go to the doctor, practical and spiritual, and we pray. First resort is we pray, and then we use the wisdom from doctors and all of those things. When we're sad, they'll hear. Let me see if this is. Do you ever hear me with my worship music on at the house? Is it annoying? It sounded.
We all hear it, Dad.
We all hear it because I want them to hear. I want them to hear. I have headphones, but sometimes I don't like the headphones for this reason. I want them to hear it. I want them to know that this is not just my workout track in there. This is like, I want an atmosphere of the home.
Yep.
So this weekend we had our youth and young adult conference and it was so awesome. And I get emotional thinking about it because Brittany's and Wiley, she helped me start our first ever youth and young adult conference over like 13 years ago. Yep. And she got saved, Brittany, in my dad's church as a sophomore in high school in Washington State. And first night of movement conference, I look out and there is Brittany and Truitt's daughter, Kaylin, who we have pictures of her as a baby at all our conferences. And now she's at the conference and she gets called out and a word's spoken over her in this beautiful moment. And I'm like, this is it. This is it. This is the legacy. This is it. This is over a decade. Pastor Keon and I were talking last night and we're like, this is crazy. Like his daughter, Karsten, is in the youth. And she was at that conference. She's getting rocked by the power of God. And man, that's what this is about. See, we have to commit to not just where's the church that I'm going to attend.
Right. Yes.
We got to find the community and the village that we're going to build our lives long term. I used to be really just focused on building the biggest possible church I could build. But I'm really focused on doing something for a long period of time right now. That I get to see their kids. We were talking, Madison and Ryan, Pastor Ryan, last night we were talking in the office with Keon, and I'm like, we don't know. Jude could be Sailor and Malachi's youth pastor. Like that, no pressure. Party. What I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to get us to look further beyond like the stress of our home today. And to look into what can be and to the legacy of the future. I'm telling you, no matter where your story is right now, God can redeem the story.
Yes.
And it can change today. It's seed time and harvest. It might take a little time for your harvest, but my Bible says don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest. Yes. So we're going to start sowing seeds.
So good.
So I came across this song and I'm going to have Maddie come out and she's going to sing it. And it's called The Church I Grew Up In. And I sent it to my dad and I got so many memories. You may have hated your church growing up. Okay, so that's okay. There's something about growing up in church. There's something about, I can remember camps. I can remember conferences. I can remember services. I can remember prayer meetings. I can remember being on my face crying out to God underneath the pews of the church. Like I have framed in my office a part of the carpet of building A, our kids' building, because that used to be our church. But I spent hours crying on that carpet. I spent hours crying out for God to move in the next generation. I got snot, tears, everything on. So I when we redid the carpet, it needed it so bad, but I wanted to keep some of that because it's special to me. It's part of this legacy. So I want you to just think for a minute about what God could do with your legacy. And so at every location, Maddie's going to sing this song. And it talks about the church, this girl that wrote it, Anna Golden, that she grew up in. But it resonated with my heart because I remembered all of these times, all these experiences. So you're saying maybe like, well, I didn't grow up in church, Pastor. No, that's what we're talking about. You're about to have vision to raise up your kids in a place that they can sing a song like this and say, this was the church that I grew up in.